Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 106. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with my blues brothers, Tim. I only drink nasty wine, Elliot.
Yeah, I'm down here in the boxcars in Lakeville.
Graham, my fingers are bleeding from typing thickens.
Ah, you say you got the blues? Holes in both of your shoes?
And Phil, someone stole my Barbie dolls, Wilson.
Oh, thanks a lot. So that's got to be like one of the best intros ever.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that is. Butt.
This guy's great. You know, finding so many great artists on Music Alley that you just think, how come all these people aren't wildly successful? Because they're great. They're fun to listen to. And
Shades of Magic Dick there from the old Jay Giles band.
There we go.
I have no idea what you're
talking about, but that's okay.
Wonderful stuff, man. It's great.
It's taking Phil.
Can we just go ahead and listen to that for a while?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Okay, we're going to give you the choice. You want to hear the rest of that song or hear
listen to us.
Hear Steve emote about the Mac App Store. Which one would you rather like?
I'm not going to do that. Graham, are you going to do that?
Not much.
Yeah.
Maybe a little.
I thought it was interesting. I did a post on my own blog about it, about how it basically took like five steps out of downloading and installing an app, even a free one. And so I thought that was kind of interesting.
I haven't seen anything that I really must have yet off the App Store.
Well, have you received all the emails overnight from various developers? Like, nope. I seem to be on every developer's list for every Macintosh application, I guess, because I got five overnight.
Really?
And they're all saying, hey, my app is on the App Store, and all of them are less than they were before, and some of them dramatically
price,
less.
You mean?
Yeah. One went, I can't remember which one, but one went from like $25 to $4.99.
Wow.
And then Rapid Weaver, which I just got, it went from $79 to I think $49 or something like that. So everyone's lowering price, which is kind of interesting. And I think that the whole discovery deal that you talked about, Steve, is a big key here. The ease of use. And hopefully they'll put a kind of a social layer over that. So if I find a great app,
yeah,
you know, and you're following me, you can see that kind of thing.
Yep.
Similar to the way that the Ping works, although I still don't like that that social network.
But I'll tell you though, the going in and downloading a zip file or a DMG, and then installing the app and doing all that stuff, and then you gotta eject the DMG and you gotta trash it and empty the trash and all that. It was seven steps, and so I went in and I downloaded Text Wrangler, even though I already had it. And it just downloads and it puts an icon in the dock and you're done.
Yep.
It's like, hello. Yeah.
It's so slick.
It's very slick. So I hope that this really helps smaller developers, especially because there are some really phenomenal Cocoa apps out there that are either free or they're shareware or they're very inexpensive. And now they can slap a, $3 or $4 or $5 price on it. And rather than hope for some donations, they can actually get paid.
Yeah, as we talk about it, just as of this recording, top paid apps right now in the Mac App Store, Angry Birds is number one.
That's the
top paid, followed by Chopper 2, another game, and then iPhoto. And then the top free apps so far, Twitter, Solitaire Greatest Hits, and Evernote.
Mm-hmm.
So well,
maybe a little bit of
well
that right now. So interesting.
I think developers see that they're going to get big distribution, and if they're smart, they get in early when the choice of apps is fairly limited.
Yes, exactly. Right. As soon as this gets up to a gazillion, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and I wonder about our friends up in Grand Forks and Tractive with their Mac CRM software. I'm going to have to ask them if they have plans of getting their app in the store.
Yeah, please do. That's
a great idea. Mac-based, you've got to be, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Either they're in there or they've got to be very close, and that is very cool software.
So, not only is it cool software, but it's beautifully designed.
Oh, it is.
Oh, my God.
It's gorgeous. Yep.
Yeah. It's great stuff. So, hey, listen, we got a big show today. Lots going on in innovation, not only in software, but also in actual hardware. So we're going to talk a little bit about CES coming up. And then we also have our local software showcase. Mini demo is scheduled for next week. So we have Ben and Luke joining us from mini demo to talk about that. So we'll get to that in just a second. What happened in the last week, guys? Anyone?
Well, we had a nice club entrepreneur lunch yesterday at the Minneapolis club with the founders, the former founders of Iconoculture, talking about their new trend consulting firm, Panoramics Global. That's ixglobal.com. And that was kind of interesting. They talked about a lot of, internet and online, consumer trends. And they're working with big firms, mostly consumer-facing firms, and there's a ton of them, of course, in our town here. And so that was interesting. I think there were about 60 or 80 people at that event.
Very nice. My partner and I with Mobile March, Justin Grammons, and the Cummings, we've been busy planning Mobile March this week. We hope to have an announcement as to date and place within the next, hopefully by the end of the day today. If not, it'll be first thing next week. So plan on another Mobile March.
That's a great event.
We're very excited about it. We have to change locations because it was really very successful last year. We got a little crowded, and we're expecting more this year, so we're trying to plan ahead, and it looks like we're going to have some great stuff, obviously, with so many mobile devices coming on the market, and mobile just really taking over social. We're very excited about not only the smartphone world, but the tablet world and all the business applications that goes with it.
So Phil, do you guys consider the iPad and other tablets like it to be mobile?
I do.
I do too, but Mark Zuckerberg doesn't for some reason.
Right.
You know?
Oh, they're lagging with an iPad app. And but in the meantime, that other one is one of the most popular downloads. What the hell is that thing called? Facebook. I don't use it myself.
Maxim Magazine? What? I don't know. What?
There's Friendly.
There's a Facebook app for iPad.
Oh, okay.
What is it?
There's one called Friendly.
Yeah, that's the one.
And there's a brand new one that just came out called FacePad.
That
I much prefer on the iPad.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, well, it's very much like the Twitter app. And so it's really, really nice to use. And it's almost like this is the new paradigm for iPad apps when there's a lot of moving parts like a Facebook or a Twitter.
I mean, if you really think about it, Tim, you bring up an interesting point. If you really think about it, laptops are mobile. So I don't see any reason why you wouldn't consider the iPad part of the mobile space. It's all about being on the move, being able to do work anywhere, be connected anytime, anywhere. So yeah, I think it's completely mobile. So, and I think it's going to offer some very interesting opportunities in the near future. The combination of tablets and cloud computing and apps. It's very exciting time right now. And this is from the guy who wasn't sure there was a place for the iPad.
And of course, now we're all hauling all three devices at once. Have you been reading that about, like CES, is everybody's carrying heavier loads now?
Yeah.
Because you got to have all your devices with you.
Yeah, I noticed that I got an ad for one of the pack services that works with Apple, the backpack services, and they're offering now a case that has a detachable iPad case to the computer bag, so...
It's bound to happen.
Amazing.
Well, listen, let's talk mini demo. It comes up here on the 13th, new location for mini demo this year, right? We are off to the St. Thomas Schultz Hall in downtown Minneapolis, and the demo is at 6 o'clock on the 13th. Let's get Ben and Luke on, can we, Steve?
Yep, absolutely.
For those of you that, for some reason, didn't know about mini demo, it's been going on for years. What number is this? Is this like number 10?
Well, we're going to have to ask Luke when he gets on because it's
got to be in that neighborhood.
I don't think it's Yeah, I think it's seven, maybe.
Seven. Speaking of seven, just in case you haven't seen the format, the demos are 7 minutes long. No PowerPoint is allowed at many demos. So you actually have to show the application working.
Which is...
We're waiting for Luke to pick up.
I was going to say that's the tradition started by the granddaddy of all Pitch Fest demo, started that no PowerPoint thing, you know, 20 years ago, and it's worked very well for them. Well, that is when your demo doesn't crash on stage.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I see Luke's on.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Not too shabby.
Did you get Ben on too as well, Steve? I did send you his connection this morning, and I apologize if you didn't get that.
No, I didn't. I didn't get that.
Want me to shoot it to you real quick here?
Okay.
Yeah, it's because we want to get Ben on as well, because, you know, it's kind of a team thing. And Luke, you also have a third member of the mini star team, don't you?
That's right. Adrian Pierce. Sorry, I always mispronounce her name.
Not a problem at all. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with Mini Demo as we kind of, I'm sorry, we're going to look around here to grab Ben's Skype address and we'll get him on. I just got that this morning.
So it's, I think, our ninth mini demo.
Ah,
it is nine. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was nine or 10.
I have a spreadsheet with all of them and I was like, is this right? I feel like there's been more.
But how many years has it been? Because you used to do them a couple times a year.
Well, the only exception hopefully will be 2010 that we didn't do it a couple times a year. But yeah, I think it's been since 2006.
So you're coming up on five years. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess that averages out to about 2 a year.
Well, for those that haven't been there that are listening, could you just talk about the event a little bit and maybe how it's changed from a little bit loose in terms of people having enough time or more time than probably they really require to how it is now, and it's nice and tight and really gets people focused on pitching their value prop?
Yeah, sure. We've experimented with a few things. I think at the first one we gave people 15 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
10 or 15 minutes. And you know, as we've gone forward, you know, I think you look at conferences like Demo and people get 6 minutes. When I presented at Y Combinator Demo Day, they actually, you know, they put it at like 4.5 because there was too many people presenting. So, you know, as time has gone on, we've narrowed that down as much as possible. We currently give 7 minutes. The other thing that I think has changed is, you know, we've grown a lot. So the first one was at Chiang Mai Thai in their back room, mm-hmm. and nobody could hear anything. And there was, you know, 80 people there, 60 of whom were talking and 20 of whom were trying to listen. So we've learned from every event that we've done. After the first couple, we came up with the format of having a separate room for the demos, and we've tried to stick with that.
Yes, yeah, so I recall we used to do it at O'Gara's there for, you know, we used to come to see it at O'Gara's. In fact, that's where where Minovate was born, at one of the events. So, but it was one of those issues that became a little difficult. And we're going to get Ben on here. Sorry about this.
I'm here now.
There he is. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
How's it going?
Sorry, we were running a little late, and we were just talking to Luke a little bit about the origins and the process of Mini Demo. Can you give us a little showcase of some of the demos we're going to see on the 13th?
Luke's pretty able to do that. I think he's got a better handle on that than me.
Okay. I also have the list up.
he is prepared.
Yeah, sure. So first, well, actually, this is really not in any particular order. Sometimes I think people wonder if there's like an order of the demos, and I would have to say usually there's not. It's more or less the order that people said yes in, I would say.
Okay.
So we have InVini, which is Aaron Weber's new startup. It's a, you know, a discovery engine for movies and stuff like that. I know Aaron, and I know a little bit about this startup, but I haven't seen it in action. So I'm kind of this is going to be new to me as well as everybody else. So
I'm a user, Luke.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a user too. So yeah. It's pretty hot.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of picks up where Netflix sort of dropped the ball on the whole social aspect. I didn't ever understand why Netflix decided to drop all the Friends stuff, because I thought that was actually a pretty cool feature.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Well, and same with Boxy. You know, the Boxy social part never seems to really have taken off, and Invenia's sort of cross offerings. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah, and movies and TV shows are just the beginning. They have plans, of course, for adding lots more to the engine over time.
Well, listen to you guys. You're all taking me to school on my own list.
Sorry. All right. Who else is coming up, too?
All right. Next up, we have Conquer. They were the winners of the first Startup Weekend Twin Cities. So.
Okay.
They put on a pretty impressive little app in, you know, 72 hours, and had a good presentation at the end of that. And I understand they've been presenting all over the place. They went to Chicago. They've presented at a number of conferences here in town. So yeah. I think they're pretty polished, and I think it'll be a cool demo.
It looks, this PassiPass looks interesting too. You know, we're always trying to wrangle our passwords.
Yep. Yep. I don't know if this is the solution for everybody, but it is pretty cool. A local hacker, she goes by the handle Sigflup, built it herself. So it's a USB board with a little bit of memory on it. And then it's got some keys. So you key in your password and the master password, and then it kind of unlocks for whatever website you're trying to get into. So I thought it was pretty cool. I saw it written up on the Make blog.
Very nice.
And I realized it was from Minnesota, so I asked her if she could present.
We also have Zipgnosis set up, and we just want to get through some of these so everybody knows what's coming up.
Yeah. Zipgnosis, we've been talking with demoing since, I think, 2008, so yeah. It's good to finally get them in. Daybreak Heroes is a new iPhone game. Looking forward to seeing that. Kid Blog, this is an interesting one for me because they actually have quite a few users. So it's, yep. I think it's cool to see apps that are getting some traction.
Yep. 20,000 classrooms and 250,000 students are using that tool already.
Well, and I've been really enamored by them because of the success of EduBlogs, which is a WordPress multi-user implementation. They've got 400,000 teacher blogs, but nobody really targeted students.
Yeah.
And yes, this is built for teachers, but it's really for student use. And yeah, it is great to see them get traction.
Tell us a little bit about EventBurn. This looks interesting.
It is pretty interesting. Dan and Max, who are the co-founders of that company, have been they've been doing kind of the Steve Blank pivoting customer-driven development thing. So they've taken their expertise. They're both from the Group Lens project at the U. They've taken their expertise with recommendation engines and social matching, and tried to apply it to a couple of things. So first they started with, social media management for small businesses, but they kind of found out that small businesses don't really want to pay for that. they have other things on their plate. So this is kind of their latest idea. And I think it's one of the more fully developed things that they've built. And it's pretty cool. And they have a couple customers. It tracks the social media around events. So if you have an event like a conference or a big concert or something like that, it's able to suck down all the things that people are saying on Facebook and Twitter about that and extract the popular links and the popular photos and things like that.
That's so, very cool. Is it is it hashtag centric?
No. Yeah. Well, it does measure hashtags, but it can it just takes the raw text, so it can do anything.
Fun.
Very nice. And LitLift, tell us a little bit about that.
This one also has a decent number of users, which impressed me. It's a novel writing software. So it's not like a word processor. It's more like a database. So if you have settings and you can document, you know, I'm setting my novel in 1818's London and, you know, make sure that you keep things consistent with that setting. And then you can do the same thing for characters and sort of map out the novel that way. And then you can refer to it while you're actually writing so you don't make mistakes.
Interesting.
That's a cool idea.
That's very cool.
They have kind of a lot of traction because a lot of people, National Novel Writing Month, just that was in November. And
I missed it. I forgot to send out cards. Darn it.
they had quite a few people sign up during that to help with their novel writing.
And Sophia is, tell us a little bit about, lets you teach what you know and learn what you don't. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I actually don't know a whole lot about this. I think it'll be interesting. It's part of the whole go-kart collective thing they've got going on. They have, you know, a number of companies kind of under that umbrella, and this is one of them.
Nice. And we got, you know, what event in Minnesota is not complete without a nod to hockey?
Absolutely. And this is probably more a demo of the Sport Engine platform that TST Media has built. This is, I think he's specifically going to show off the Hockey Hub, which, brings together high school hockey all around the state.
And they're partnered with the Star Tribune on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of clients across all sports. So it's a very, very diverse platform.
And having come out of the content management space, when I did a post on Minovate about TST and got a walkthrough of Engine, I got to be honest, I was absolutely blown away by the attention to detail and all the little I's they dotted and T's they crossed with the platform. And it's really an impressive engine. So I hope they spend a lot of time on the engine. Well, not out of their 7 minutes.
Well, listen, you know, it's like another great event and it is sold out. Is it not, guys?
It is. Yeah.
It is sold out. So
what's the capacity, Luke?
I don't know. What has it been?
I think the theater can hold about 330 people.
Wow, nice.
Oh, nice.
And the lobby can hold more, obviously. And so we always have a mix of people who don't care to go into the demos for whatever reason. They're there more for the networking and the socializing and the drinks. And so we're hoping that it's nice and full in there, but not super cramped. And we'll kind of evaluate. This is the first event at St. Thomas for us. And so we'll see how it goes and maybe, you know, we can do another one there and allow some more people in or what.
Are you planning on live streaming the event?
Not like this time.
Like do you stream something? Okay.
We have no logistics for that setup, but if someone were to pull it together, we could probably possibly do it. I think Tech MN asked about doing that, but I don't know. We haven't set anything up.
Okay.
So, there are other things that you do. Let's talk a little bit about the whole MiniStar setup, because you do, of course, Mini Demo, but Mini Bar, which is always a great event. Have you got a plan for Mini Bar anytime soon?
We are planning a spring Mini Bar. We haven't put anything into motion yet. We are sort of resigned to do it at the great Best Buy facility. I say resigned because I don't want to get complacent because it's such a nice facility, but it is really, really hard to find good venues for that event. So we'll probably start, you know, thinking about it right after the demo event and putting the pieces together for that.
Great.
Well, I just want to throw something out. Excuse me, Phil. Just in terms of what you guys have done, and I know that, you know, people talk about how what great events they are and how you started this and so on and so forth. But and I even heard you once, maybe it was on the Tech MN podcast, talk about how you guys just do stuff and then figure out what works and then just do more of what works. And this stuff works, and it's great to see. And it's, I mean, you guys, big accolades for you guys both.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And I keep hearing folks in the business community, I mean, you know, more angel kind of folks and advisor kind of folks talking about it. I heard them yesterday at Club Entrepreneur, people saying, now, are you going to that mini demo next week? And oh yeah. So, you know, more and more people are hearing about it. And that's, yeah, that's a tribute to the quality of the events and what you guys do to make all this happen. It's great.
Well, I definitely think we can do more. I would love to see more investor types at our events, obviously.
Yeah.
Our goal is really, well, one of our main goals, I should say, is to promote startups in the Twin Cities area and Minnesota. So
sure.
Having more investors would be good for everybody, I think.
I think that segment is growing. Like, you know, like you said, you've heard from more people that are in that vein and not necessarily technologists, but they're hearing about these events and they're coming. And I think that sort of shows in the fact that we're selling out in like 30 minutes.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and this is a great venue to be doing it at St. Thomas downtown. That's a nice central location and obviously a larger one than what you've been able to do for mini demos in the past, I guess.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We really are. We'll plan on seeing you on the 13th, and we'll obviously do a recap on Minivate, and we'll go from there. Okay, guys, best of luck to you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
It's always an honor to have you on.
Thanks, guys.
See you next week.
Alrighty, take care.
Bye bye.
Well, that was
and
great.
So yeah, I mean, it is too bad that it sells out so quickly, or it, you know, it closes up. So to sell out would imply that it costs money. It doesn't. It's free. And but it's frustrating when you can't necessarily get, you know, react fast enough to get tickets. But
well, yeah, or if you're, you know, in a client meeting and all of a sudden the thing gets posted and
yeah, and you're
walk out and you're like, what? I can't get in.
Well, the frustrating part is always the fact that, you know, they've sold out their tickets. The problem is the attrition of people that will not show up.
Right.
Is frustrating to those that really want to show up. But yeah, you know, that's the nature of this open concept. So,
well, maybe some of the people that missed out can show up and just wait at the front and say, I want to, you know, when you tell me that X number of people haven't showed, can I walk in?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Because there will be people that don't show because they have no skin in the game or things come up and, you know, yep. So anyway.
But it is always a good event. It'll be interesting. It's going to have this air of button down being in the Schultz Hall rather than in, you know, Intermediate Arts or O'Gara's Garage or something like that.
Well, so, you know what I found interesting is not only is University of St. Thomas a sponsor in their MBA program, but Star Tribune is and Code 42, Split Rock, and of course the continuing New Council and Livefront and IP House folks. So they've got a great cast of sponsors here.
Yeah, it is. It is really good. Well, you know, we go from downtown Minneapolis and Mini Demo to start talking about the Consumer Electronics Show, you know, the Geek Heaven.
Going on now in Las Vegas.
Right
now.
Tablet
Fest 2011.
The ground is already shaken.
It is. It's I was kind of going through the feeds from CES, all the different reportings from like Engadget and that sort of thing, and realizing, wow, can you get any more tablets out of that place?
Oh man, everybody's doing a tablet.
But you know, there's a sort of a blowback. I mean, you know, obviously Apple's not there and won't be there. They do their own thing. HP's not introducing a tablet this year, and instead they announced their own event in another week, you know, the WebOS tablet coming, so they chose to avoid it. Which,
well, you know, I don't necessarily think that's a bad strategy, though.
No, I don't either.
CES is very much like the App Store. There is so much that you can't see it all.
And their announcement would get lost in the news cycle, too, because there's just way too much stuff going on.
Agreed.
So it would be, oh, yeah, there's a webOS tablet. So they're sort of taking the page out of the Apple book to say, we're going to try to own next week. And I think of all of the stuff that I've seen, I'm kind of more excited to see what the Palm HP folks have up their sleeve, mm-hmm. because all of these Android tablets, and as much as I love Android, it's just not optimized for a larger screen at all until Honeycomb comes, which right. not Honeycomb, the next one. Honeycomb, I guess.
Honeycomb,
is,
right. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Honeycomb is the tablet.
Right. And they're showing some interesting UI stuff with that, but I don't think we're going to see Honeycomb until the middle of the year, maybe the end of the year at the earliest.
Really? Yeah. You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's going to be brutal.
Gingerbread is the one that's getting pushed out right now. So,
well, and Gingerbread starts to address tablet computing, but it doesn't. Doesn't do the full rewrite like Honeycomb plans to. So,
well, let's bring Mitch on, who's on the floor or at its hotel, I would assume.
Mitch Hislop.
Yeah, right. He's covering the show, working with WCCO, and I thought it would be good to have someone that's actually there on that's from Minnesota. And also, I guess, is Julio also joining us?
Julio Ojeda Zapata, yep, St. Paul Pioneer Press.
If we only had somebody local to talk about this stuff. Oh, we do.
So I'm adding Mitch now, and I will add Julio as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Mitch.
He's not in his room. He's not in his room.
Where are you?
We're also calling Julio.
Mitch? I am right outside the press room.
Really? Oh, okay. You're getting an early start there, my friend.
Yeah. It's not, I thought it was going to be open. It's not open yet. So I'm forced to sitting in a hallway, and I've already claimed my outlet that I'm going to hold on to with dear life until I have to leave.
I love that. So yeah, it's always the most popular places to play at conferences like that, is the outlet.
Yes.
So we're
hi,
just...
this is Julio. Please leave me a message.
Uh-oh.
Julio's not ready.
Well, we're just going to have to, yeah.
You know, we'll have to just muddle by with Mitch.
He was at an event today, and but he's been getting a lot of gadgets, I guess, and obviously paying close attention. But Mitch, you're out there. So what's going on? What's hot?
Tablets.
Yeah.
We've heard that.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, that's the broken record by now. We've actually, there's a couple of us, both some people from Minnesota and some people we've met here. We're trying to find a game of a major company not introducing a tablet.
It's that much. Wow.
So Mitch, are they running Honeycomb or are they running Gingerbread?
So there's quite a few of them that have been announced with pretty near future come to market dates, which are all on Froyo, actually. I don't think I've actually seen a Gingerbread one. However, we did get yesterday during Verizon's keynote, they demoed the Motorola Zoom X-O-O-M, which was running Honeycomb. So we did get to see the Honeycomb interface, and it looked absolutely fantastic.
And did they give you any kind of ship time when that's going to be coming out?
Well, all we know is that the Zoom is coming out sometime this quarter, either later this quarter or possibly early next quarter. I mean, we all know how these work. Which means that we should be having a Honeycomb announcement from Google in the next month or two. They've given us nothing official, but we can sort of work backwards based on what they've said for availability of the Zoom tablet.
So one of the things we were talking about before we got you on here is that the frustration that I have with Android tablets is that Froyo is, and Gingerbread for that matter, it is not optimized for a larger screen than, say, you know, 5 inches or something. And that's one of the things I think sets the iPad apart, is that Apple's actually done some first-party apps, and third-party apps are also taking advantage of the larger screen with different UI paradigms. Did you kind of see that with the Honeycomb tablets?
Absolutely. They actually completely did Honeycomb from the ground up to be for a multitasking, web-connected tablet. You can see that in every part of the interface. They redid how the home screen works. They've made widgets a lot more powerful. So you can actually have like a widget on your desktop. That's your Gmail inbox, and you can scroll through it and get right to a single message from there and things like that. All around, it's the UI has been completely reworked to take advantage of that. And that, you know, I share a very similar sentiment, even with one of the guys here. He wanted a tablet, so we went out and got him a Nook Color, and then we rooted it and put Android on it yesterday. and it's a fantastic little device, but it doesn't make those UI improvements like my iPad does.
So in terms of specific devices, what's been the thing that's really grabbed you by the shirt sleeves or by the lapels and shaken you and, you know, kind of a must have device?
Well, you know, personally, that's got to be probably the Motorola Droid Bionic, which is going to be a 4G LTE smartphone out on Verizon later this year.
Okay.
But there's a whole slew of the next generation of Android phones, which are all 4G. They're all dual core. And there's some incredibly powerful devices, and they're going to definitely help to usher in that next wave of mobile connectivity where it's not a, you know, people complaining about their data speeds or things like that. Because I've been using the last couple of days, I've stolen my dad's Verizon 4G modem, and I've been getting, you know, fantastic speeds on it.
So, Mitch, you know, it seems like, and again, I haven't had hands on like you have, but it seems like the size of the mobile phone, the smartphone, is officially growing. I mean, when the Evo came out from Sprint and with that 4.3 screen, everybody was like, wow, that's a big phone. And with the exception of, it seems like the exception of the iPhone 4, that seems to be the new standard size. Am I wrong on that? Or is that pretty much what you're seeing as well?
That's exactly what I'm seeing. I'm actually trying to rack my head, and I don't think I've seen a new smartphone launching. Certainly not a sort of potential flagship phone launching with a screen under 4 inches. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's some advancements happening in screen technologies. We're seeing a lot more come out with the Super AMOLED screens. LG, actually HTC yesterday announced one with the Super LCD screen, which I guess is a first for the consumer market. I'm not an expert on screens, but so it's not only the size that's growing. People are trying to now catch the Retina display a little bit.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. A lot of front-facing cameras now too, as well for video chat.
Yep. Yep. And especially with that got really interesting yesterday, because yesterday we had the news break that Skype bought Quick, and yes, then like right. 3 hours later at Verizon's press conference, they announced sort of a super deep partnership and integration with Skype and all of their 4G phones that are coming out.
Gotcha.
That ought to be interesting.
So with dual core and with Android, you know, having the capability of doing background processing and all that, which really impacts battery life on current phones. Mm-hmm. What kind of battery life are they quoting?
No one's really been willing to give a good answer on that. And that's sort of what's still on everyone's tongues.
Yeah, sure. It's because it sucks. That's why nobody's talking about it.
It could be because it sucks, but there's a school of thought where with the two processors, it can sort of selectively use them, kind of like the shutting down cylinders in your car engine when you don't need them, when you're just cruising on the highway. So some people say it may actually improve battery life. But I would assume that they probably did everything in their power just to keep it about the same at what it is. You know, I don't think they're going for massive improvements in battery life anymore, as we've seen. I think they're just kind of expecting that people are going to have a charger on their desk kind of a thing.
Yeah, you're going to definitely have to have a charger. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I think it's pretty exciting stuff. So we go from the 4.3 screen. We go to the 7-inch, 9-inch screen now with the new tablets, and 10-inch, and then 13. So there's a kind of size for everybody.
Yeah, there really is. And there was there's been some cool non-Android tablets announced, most of them running Windows 7, that are also in that, you know, 7, 9. I was playing with one from Lenovo a couple nights ago at their press party.
I heard about this. Yeah,
it runs Android, but it can also, it can essentially dual boot into Windows 7. It uses a pen, but it lets it be pressure sensitive, so you can sort of get these great sketching. And it has a dock, quote unquote dock, for a keyboard. But instead of just being a dock, it's actually got a better processor. So you go from when it's in tablet mode, it has the 1 gigahertz Snapdragon or 1.2 gigahertz Snapdragon that's powering most of the phones right now. When you plug it into the dock, it becomes a little laptop with a touchscreen and a Core i5 from Intel.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Have you had a chance to slide on over to some of the other booths other than the mobile and a pad or a tablet devices to some of our local folks? We've got quite a few local folks out there showcasing some.
I did an interview with the Bracketron guys yesterday for WCCO that I don't know if it played or not because our time zones are just screwing me up. But so I got to play with some of their products, and I'm going to do a little bit more in-depth review of them once both us and them are back from Vegas. But they've got some really unique stuff, and they're really making a push to go from being the company who makes sort of ways to mount your devices in your car to the company who's making accessories to help manage your devices 24/7 is how they described it to me.
Yeah, I saw the product that allows you to take, you know, the phone from the car to your desktop and that sort of thing. So that that's kind of interesting. And Bracketron, they're a Edina-based company. And did they start basically by making wall mounts for flat screens? Wasn't that they're really kind of the way they started? I can't remember for sure. I may be confusing my companies.
Yeah, that was a piece of it. They started in 2001, so they're now 10 years old. This is their first year at the show. And they're just sort of working on becoming, you know, slightly better known for making all these, you know, consumer bracket technologies. They've sort of left the TV market in favor for handheld devices, which is, you know, probably a good idea. It's a really blowing up segment. So
can you talk, did you get over to the iMation booth by any chance? Talk a little bit about what they're doing out there. Can you do that?
Yeah, I was only briefly able to get by there. It was crazy yesterday. But their new boomboxes, their new TDK boomboxes, look pretty excellent. One of the guys I'm here with is staunchly anti-Apple. So him and I have been going back and forth the whole time. And it kind of culminated in me sitting in the front row for Steve Ballmer's keynote the other night with my MacBook, right square center with the glowing white Apple on it.
Did you get Ballmer to sign it?
Yeah.
No, I thought about it. But he looked pretty hopped up, and I didn't really want to risk anything happening.
He looks pretty hopped up.
He's going to throw a chair at you.
Yeah.
He has so much energy. I love watching him do his keynotes. But these new boomboxes, he loved that they're not, you know, that they weren't Apple-centric and they didn't try to be, but that they were just sort of solid mobile audio, which is good. I mean, more companies need to figure out that, yes, you know, Apple makes a lot of products and they have this really nice 30-pin connector that everyone can use. But at the same time, there's a whole lot of other devices out there and a whole lot of other phones and a whole lot of other portable media devices. I mean, Samsung just announced an Android-powered media player that's going to basically be taking on the iPod Touch. So now it's good that we have device makers starting to figure that out and making it better ones.
Well, speaking of that, one of the things I'm really curious about, because of all these devices, especially you know, in homes, you've got all kinds of different things with TV boxes and iPod touches and Android phones and now tablets and laptops. What about Wi-Fi Direct? Is anybody showing anything with Wi-Fi Direct? And for those that don't know what it is, it's localized Wi-Fi from device to device. And so you can, instead of using Bluetooth, which has a limited range, Wi-Fi Direct in theory has much greater range. Anybody doing anything?
You know, I haven't seen much with that. And the little bits that I have is it's more of a, oh, and it also has Wi-Fi Direct.
Got
sort
it.
Of like how when Google was announcing the Nexus S, it's like, oh, it also has near field communication.
Got it.
I think next year's show is going to be huge for Wi-Fi Direct, especially because probably the second biggest trend at this show this year is internet connected appliances and sort of that idea of the Internet of Things and being able to talk to your fridge and get a text from your oven when your turkey's done, kind of a thing.
Yep. Which I can't wait. I can't wait for it. Yeah, Phil's going, you know, I want my turkey talking.
I don't want to hear from him.
Yeah.
It's because Phil would just be getting text messages. Phil, you burnt the turkey again.
Yeah,
exactly. Your oven.
Want to clean, wash me, it would say.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, it's one of those really interesting things that's, you know, everyone sort of was, you know, joking about it. And then right away on press day out the gate, we have LG announcing it and then Samsung announcing it a couple hours later. And Samsung did a little bit better job sort of on the why this is cool. And it just is sort of that having all of the devices in your home talk to each other. So when you get home and set your phone down on the desk, there's no reason it shouldn't, you know, automatically connect to a couple different things. You know, a little media sling box type of a thing attached to your Samsung TV that would then allow you to, you know, stream things from your phone. So sort of taking a little bit of what we've learned from what people are looking for in in-car connectivity and applying it to the home. And just in general, you know, letting all of our devices talk to each other in ways that make our lives better.
With a show like CES, there's all sorts of crazy stuff on the floor. What's been the craziest, most surprising thing you've seen?
As far as craziest, they have, I can't for the life of me remember the name of this company. I'll have to go look it up. I have to go visit them again today, but they have these little balls, frankly, they're spheres right about the size of a baseball. They look just like a baseball, but they're remote controlled. So you get this little remote control, you can drive them like a, you know, little remote control car, but they're, you know, a completely spherical orb thing that's zipping around and they're, you know, really responsive. It's completely useless technology unless you're, you know, chasing a cat around, but it looks really cool.
It's the Orgasmatron.
Yeah. Finally it's here.
Yeah. Engadget put up a post about what looks like an arcade enclosure complete with the joystick and the buttons and stuff for your iPad.
Yeah.
That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. There's just a lot of,
the showcase of the iPod dashboard now, or the iPad dashboard. You can actually put your eye, slide it right into the dashboard. I thought that was kind of interesting. Have you had a chance to take a look at the Tesla? And Tesla's got a car out there. Audi's got a car out there, don't they? Some of those larger, because the auto is a very big part of CES as well.
Auto is a huge part of CES. I mean, Ford was, again, you know, talking about everything all the time. And actually Ford has about half a dozen cars out here with their new My Ford Touch that's continuing to roll out. They announced it at CES last year. It's still rolling out, but it's actually some of my favorite technology. OnStar had a huge press event on Tuesday that I covered that they're announcing, you know, that now basically any car can have OnStar. They're going to have an aftermarket rear view mirror that you can replace your current rearview mirror with and have the ability to, you know, use the OnStar services. And in the same press pack and at later announcements, there was also a whole them partnering with Verizon to sort of bring 4G LTE into the car. And one of the pictures I have on my website is someone doing a little Skype call from their car's like in-dash entertainment system.
Oh yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
One more distraction.
That's pretty cool. Well,
you know, there's going to be all sorts of things making sure you don't do that, but it's, again, that it's sort of, you know, with 4G and 4G LTE, especially, you can have these really fast data connections. So now you're not, you know, waiting for, you know, trying to get a 3G signal in your car. Data is becoming closer and closer to sort of being a really pervasive, dumb pipe that we can throw things back and forth down. Which allows us some of these innovations like, you know, Skyping and Pandora from your car.
Well, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to your CES coverage. And people can go there and actually look at the photos and the videos and read your coverage and so on. And I'm assuming you're still going to add to that today.
Yeah. Yesterday I spent a while on the show floor and today I'm going to do the same thing. Just trying to find some just cool products, you know, obviously going to cover the stuff that everyone's covering, but I also want to find stuff that may fall through the radar. Yesterday I found a company called iChair who are making these really, really great iPad cases with integrated stands. And it's not the sort of like small little flip out thing, but when the stand is closed, it looks like just your typical iPad in sort of the case that everyone gets, you know, not the Apple foldover one, but sort of a hard shell case, mm-hmm. but they've got a couple of stands in the back and it does a super good job of protecting it. It gives you several different ways to sort of prop up your iPad and it doesn't look like it has this big old case on the back. So I've been trying to hunt down some more of that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm also at 1 p.m. Today, my time. So 2:03. The chairman of the FCC, Julius Genachowski, is going to be getting interviewed by the president and CEO of the Consumer Electronics Association, a guy by the name of Gary Shapiro. And you can bet that everyone will be thinking and hoping and making sure they talk about net neutrality.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a big day. You're there through Sunday.
Yeah, I'm here through Sunday. The next couple of days is a little more chill. Most of the press announcements have now happened. Most of the big stuff, at least, you know, Verizon had two yesterday. Samsung had two the last 2 days. Most of those are now done. So now it's show floor. It's seeing what's coming out new. And here's where the sort of the analysis and the trend stories start. These we sometimes call them in politics, the process stories.
So no announcement of the iPhone coming to Verizon?
No, but in that, you know, in Rumorville, a bunch of Apple, it sounds like, put all of their employees on vacation freeze for the last 3 weeks to January and are keeping on a whole bunch of the holiday staff that they hired. And every other time that Apple's done this, I went back and checked my notes for the last few times that they've done this, they've released something big. Mm-hmm. It's one of the more, actually, it's a pretty interesting thing that's going on at CES is we're having all these manufacturers who have cases for the iPad 2. So
interesting.
Yeah, there's a company called Dexim who I was looking at one of their cases. It's an iPad case that has an integrated keyboard. And I asked if I could put mine in so I could try it because it looks really good. And it's a much better solution than carrying around my iPad and my big Apple keyboard. And he's like, oh no, I can't. And I prod him a little bit. This was at a private press event and I'm prodding him. He goes, no, your iPad won't fit in it. And I kind of look at him and I look at the device again. And it's, you know, it's not quite the exact same dimensions and it's got some cutouts where a regular iPad wouldn't need cutouts.
Mm. So what do you think? I mean, do you think that the whole Verizon iPhone thing is probably, it will take a back seat to the release of iPad 2?
I think that Verizon and Apple probably haven't finished coming to an agreement yet. Everything we heard is that they're getting closer, but with seeing how all in with 4G Verizon has been going and seeing how, and knowing how Apple works and that they don't go with the latest and greatest technology. I mean, just think how long it was for an iPhone to come out with 3G. I mean, it didn't launch with 3G. It took them, you know, a year and a half to put 3G in it. It's probably not going to happen at the end of January, like everyone's thinking. We may hear about it, but it's one of those things where it's going to be a little bit. And every Verizon employee that I and everyone else here has talked to and asked about it has towed the company line perfectly, which is annoying. Even some people are trying to end around questions about like if they can handle the, you know, increases in data on their network and sort of trying to sneak past it. It's they've been steadfast that we don't really know anything and everyone's just kind of guessing right now.
So Mitch, I really appreciate you joining us this morning, a couple hours earlier than us here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding. Thank you, Mitch.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on. This is always fun.
It was fun to have you. Yeah. You young whippersnapper.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right.
Enjoy yourself out there.
Be safe out there, man. Oh, wait a minute. I got to ask you.
Yeah.
Have you been over to the adult video show yet?
My only comment on that is that there are several events there that share, that are in the Venetian, which CES also uses for some of its press events. My comment.
So that's a non-denial denial.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to toe the company line there, Mitch.
Right. Right.
Honestly,
more than anything, that's my girlfriend might listen to this later.
Yeah. I was backpacking, honest. I wasn't.
That's right.
Well, have fun. Be safe.
That's one of my favorite things is like in the Venetian, like yesterday, Wednesday for press day, you'll have like these herds of just really nerdy looking guys. And then these herds of people who are here for the adult video show, like walking in the same group of people. And it's one of the most hilarious sights I've seen.
Oh,
all right. Well, listen, have a good time and stay out of trouble, will you?
Yeah, all definitely.
All right, thanks, pal. Rich.
Take care.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
So well, big day, big week.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's going to impact Minnesotans, not only developers, obviously, but any companies that are taking advantage of all of this new capability for internet-connected devices, whether they're iPads or any of the 70 tablets that have been shown at CES.
Steve, don't you find it kind of interesting as a fellow former, you know, stereo component seller? I find it interesting how the attention at CES has moved away from, you know, stereo equipment and home entertainment to, you know, new technology and mobile devices. Do you find that interesting? I mean, I know they're still there, but you don't hear about them.
Well, you know, CES used to be two shows, January and June. January in Vegas and June in Chicago. And it
and
was
nobody
because,
ever went to the one in the Chicago.
Oh, no, it was huge. Well, so the reason that it's consolidated down to one show and also why video games have split off is because there's been such a consolidation in retail. So you used to have, you know, Stereo One, speaking of Minnesota, Stereo One up in Brainerd that had three or four stores, and Sound World in southern Minnesota, and you had several big mom and pop retailers here in the Twin Cities, and they're all gone. You know, Midwest Stereo gone, Audio King gone. All these organizations are gone. So you have fewer points of distribution, and the shift that I've seen has been toward making enough of a splash so you can get buzz in all the tech blogs and in all the social media circles, and you get traditional media talking about you, and it's more of that now as a show and an event, and mobile is centric to most of the hot stuff that's going on. So I don't know. I just see it as sort of a natural evolution of where things are headed.
Well, I know that the shop that I used to work at, Music America Warehouse Showroom, is gone. So,
oh my God!
Oh, come on! We used to have a lion and everything.
Wow!
Yeah. So anyway,
do you guys shop at Ultimate Electronics?
Every once in a while, yeah. I kind of like that store.
I haven't been into that store in, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, and every time I drive past it, the one in Burnsville, I just think to myself, how do they stay in business?
I think the same thing.
Yeah, but well,
good question.
Apparently they've found their niche. I don't know, but it just seems like Best Buy and Target and Walmart, they just so overwhelmingly have taken over that space.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's,
well, I think they have positioned themselves as the anti, you know, big box, but at the same time still trying to match the prices. So
yeah,
it's an interesting store. What's coming up, guys?
Well,
mini demo we talked about.
We talked about mini demo. Minnesota High Tech Association is having a welcoming bash for the incoming president, Margaret Anderson Kelleher, which comes up. Oh my gosh, I have to look.
You have to like scramble.
January 26th, 4:30 to 6:30. They'll have a little program, and then they'll have some networking.
Yeah,
and those are really the next couple of big events, as mini demo and then that.
I did hear from Don Ball this morning that they'll be celebrating their first anniversary at Coco.
Oh, really?
I believe that's happening on the 17th. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if that's an open event or not. I would imagine it is, because that's what Coco is all about. But we were just sort of talking about it in conversation.
Huh. Well,
that'll be fun.
We'll keep an eye out for that. And
you bet.
Great.
All right, guys.
All right, gentlemen.
Another wonderful show. Thanks very much for joining us for another Minute of Eight Gang podcast, everybody.
All righty. Take care.
Yep. See you next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
baby. Roll down to 59. South of I-20, baby. Rolling down to 59. Texas pines. Her daddy works in a brickyard, and her mama's sweet as she can be. Oh yeah, her daddy works in a brickyard, and her mama's sweet as she can be. My red clay back road mama, do anything in this world for me. I'm a sugar cane. She's my backwoods baby, and I'm a steady loving man. She was raised up a Baptist and had never been kissed. When I got through with that woman, she became a Methodist. She's my regular background mama. She's as sweet as she can be. Texas pine tree.